I will try to basically go over the program, the Tovito program. Interestingly, this Tovito program go over different study. Tornado mainly is the pivotal trial, and I will start with just showing you what those trials try to look for. So what we'll try to present is the combination of the developed program by Boehringer, the combination of the LAMA and the LABA, what we'll do on the FEV1 at 6 months, what it will do with the FEV1 area under the curve, the 0 to 24 hour, and this is the Otempto trial, the 24 hour FEV1, the peak effect at 6 weeks, and the FEV1 area under the curve, the 0 to 12 hours, 0 to 24 hours compared to a combination containing high and medium dose of inhaled corticosteroids. We look also at the effect on the St. George Respiratory Questionnaire, rescue medicine use, dyspnea measured by the TDI index, exacerbations, safety, and the effect on activity. And you can see that our different trial addressing different points, the pivotal trial being the Tornado trial, and I will start with this. It's two trials done multicentric around the world, putting out the results are presented as pooled data from the two trials. They did with patients with COPD, age older than 40 years, inclusion criteria, more than 10 pack history, FEV1 obstructive, FEV1 over FVC was less than 80%. You can see the 5 arms that are randomized, the actual dose of tiotropium olodaterol, 5 microgram, 5 microgram, the tiotropium 2.5, olodaterol 5 microgram, Tio 5, Tio 2.5, olodaterol 5. The trial went on for a year, but the measurement was done at 24 weeks, and the outcome, the primary outcome, was the FEV1, trough FEV1, and St. George Respiratory Questionnaire. The data that are presented are the one with the doses we are interested in, meaning the tiotropium olodaterol 5.5 compared to tiotropium 5 and olodaterol 5. And you can see it was a balanced population between the different group. And just to point out that in the gold, you had about 50% of the patient being in gold 2. Okay, George went over this. Those patients are usually symptomatic from the dyspnea point of view. Okay, 50%, keep in mind, of those patients were in gold 2. And half of them were long-acting beta agonist naive, and the others were not. Results on the Tornado 1-2, so of OCOPD patients, they were on a bunch of medicine. Also, you can realize that some of them were on inhaled corticosteroids, half of them, and more importantly, that 20% of this population had cardiovascular risk factors, mainly arrhythmias and coronary heart disease. This is important to look at the safety of this new medicine, the combination of a LAMA and a LABA. So the combination of tiotropium olodaterol improved lung function, and you can see the comparison between the tiotropium and the combination of the TO with olodaterol. It has doubled the improvement in FEV1 in the subgroup of GOLD 2 patients that were long-acting bronchodilator naive. So those patients that were not taking long-acting bronchodilator had the most benefit. The improvement is in all class and significantly improved. The trough FEV1 is improved in a naive, LABA naive patient and the one we're taking also LABA, but the most effect was seen in the LABA naive and also in GO 3 and 4 patients. What's about the St. George Respiratory Questionnaire? All group, the olodaterol, the tiotropium, the tio and olodaterol, the combination also had an improvement in the St. George Respiratory Questionnaire. However, the combination has the biggest improvement. And just to remind you, 4 points are significant. So it got 6.8 points improvement in St. George Respiratory Questionnaire. And the percentage of patients considered as responders were the highest in that group. I'm not showing this data. Now, what's about the use of inhaler, the as-needed short-acting beta-agonist inhaler, the rescue medicine, comparing tiotropium versus the combination of tio with olodaterol? You get roughly around half a puff per day less. And over time, this improve, and you can guess that you get 22% less use during the day and 26% improvement during the night, less use of rescue bronchodilators. Another outcome, which is secondary in this study, and the study was not powered for that, is the rate of exacerbation. And you can see that the green curve and the blue curves, you get a little bit more exacerbation in the tiotropium numerically. This was not statistically significant, but this study was not powered for the exacerbation, and there is ongoing trial. We don't have the result, just looking at exacerbation. What interests us in this elderly population, our patients are 70, 80, 90 year old taking those medicine, 20% have cardiovascular disease. Any side effect, any problem? Well, across the group, you can see that we got around 70% of serious adverse event or end adverse event, the total. And could be anything, could be from exacerbation to anything else. But this is balanced also between a different group and a different doses. So this to prove the safety of the product. We go further in different trial. This is the Otempto trial now. The design, again, comparing 5 microgram Tio, 2.5 Tio with olodaterol, the 5 microgram, sure. And looking now at this trimester, 12 week, FEV1 area under the curve, peak 0.3 hours, trough FEV1, and St. George's Paralytic Questionnaire. And this was compared to placebo. Interestingly, you got significant improvement in FEV1. Here the effect is a little bit less than in the previous trial, but significantly improved. 128 milliliter, 159 milliliter for the combination in the Respimat, and in Gold 3, 133 millimeter and 172 millimeter. Can see that this improvement is substantial as far as improvement in FEV1. What's about the quality of life and the St. George Respiratory Questionnaire? You get an improvement of more than 4 points for the combination, and that was significant, okay, compared to the placebo. And also, you realize on the right side, on your left side, actually, that you got more responders as far as St. George Respiratory Questionnaire when the patient were given the combination of tiotropium and olodaterol compared to placebo. What's about dyspnea score, the TDI score, and to remind you that to have a positive response, you have to improve by a point. You get improvement with both with tiotropium and tiopteotropium olodaterol, and it was quite significant for the combination. So you get improved in your dyspnea, and also you get more responder after 3 months of treatment with the combination. So we showed that you have an improvement in FEV1. We showed that we have an improvement in St. George's Paralytic Questionnaire. We showed that we have less use of inhaled or short-acting bronchodilator. We showed a trend on exacerbation. And now, in a different trial, the Vivacito trial, we look again at the combination compared to different other combination, TIO with Olo now 2.5, Olo 5 microgram, TIO 5 microgram, TIO 2.5 microgram, compared all to placebo on FEV1 at 6 weeks area under the curve. This is just looking at the peak and at the trough at 6 weeks, and you can see the green line really stopped at the highest point. So, and it goes quickly. You can see it's fast, it goes up quickly, it stays up there, and there is a trough little bit early in the morning at hour 20 to 22, and then you get a second peak in the morning. So this is to prove that the combination gives you the best improvement, 338 milliliter difference with the placebo. It's really, you change grade of severity in the disease by taking this combination. Now the Energito trial is comparing the effect of FEV1 to a combination containing a LABA and an inhaled corticosteroids in two different doses, a medium and high dose inhaled corticosteroids. In that trial, it's a randomized, double-blind, double-dummy, active control, four-period complete crossover study. Okay, and the primary outcome was the FEV1 between area under the curve between 1 hour and 0 hour and 12 hours. And then the secondary outcome was 0 to 24, 12 to 24, the trough and the peak FEV1. I will just go to the curves. And you can see the green curve, the combination compared to the medium and the high dose combination containing inhaled corticosteroids. And this result over the period of 24 hours is significantly different. And then if I go over the other part, if I take different segments, 0, 3 hours, 12, 24, or 0, 24, they are all significantly different as far as FEV1 area under the curve and the peak and the trough. Now, looking at activity, we have three trials looking at activity, the Moracto, the Toracto, and Fisacto. Unfortunately, we don't have the published papers yet, but we have it was presented already in abstract form, or our clinical trial designed to look at the effect of tiotropium or olanzapine respimat on activity in COPD. And all three trials had endurance time as the primary endpoint, and share similar secondary endpoints, including lung function parameter, the FEV1, and inspiratory capacity. The tiotropium olo respimat significantly and clinically improved exercise and exercise tolerance and breathing discomfort versus placebo in all three trials. Just to conclude on the different trials done for tiotropium and olanzapine, the respimat by Boehringer is fundamental in the treatment of COPD. It has a sustained effect and enhanced by fast onset of the beta-2 agonist containing in it is the striverdi. There is the trials that we presented combine around 15,000 patients with COPD in all classes. Tiotropium olanzapine provides greater improvement in lung function, breathlessness, exercise time, and quality of life than monotherapies in patients with GOLD 2 to 4 COPD patient. And this drug delivers significantly and clinically meaningful improvement through FEV1, breathlessness, and quality of life compared to placebo in patients in GOLD 2 COPD. Tiotropium olanzapine respimat is well tolerated as monotherapy with no specific safety concerns. And just to resume, so it works quickly, it is fast, in 5 minutes, it improves lung function through the 24 hours of the day, and you get less use of rescue medicine during the day and during the night. Just keep in mind about the benefit of the device. So there is specificity about the respimat, the soft mist inhaler device. From the patient point of view, they find it easy to use, easy to assemble, and they're willing to continue using the respimat, and they prefer it over HFA, MDI, turbohaler, and discus according to patient. And just keep in mind that this fine mist particle, when inhaled slowly, it gets you 53% of the puffed dose or the inhaled dose compared to others where you get around 20 to 30% of the dose. I will stop here and we'll take questions. George and I will take some questions if there are any.
Do you think that if we combine tiotropium with the steroids in one device, we can have an additive effect in reducing exacerbations?
I mean, there is one point that's important. The combination of the LAMA and the LABA was so important that this improvement, this stenting of the airway with the bronchodilator, as presented by Musa earlier, improving FEV1, while rather losing FEV1 will make you more exacerbator, prevent increasing exacerbation. So that goes over the concept of if you are at a better FEV1, you will have less exacerbation maybe. This is from one point. Now, there is a phenotype that is an exacerbator that may have some ACOs in it, and this one will benefit definitely from a combination containing steroids. Now, the LABA as a bronchodilator, is the combination of the LABA and the LAMA gave you the best bronchodilation here. So combining a anticholinergic with the steroids, I don't think is the ideal. Is combining a bronchodilator with an inhaled corticosteroids would be the ideal if you want to start with. So this is combining here a long-acting beta agonist and an anticholinergic to get the best bronchodilation. If you want to decrease a frequency of exacerbation or attack, you recommend the dose is to put inhaled corticosteroids. Yes.
Merci. Je crois dans notre société le problème c'est qu'on a overlap syndrome parce qu'on a beaucoup d'asthmatiques et de la pollution et on a beaucoup de tabagiques. C'est pour cela je crois on utilise beaucoup de stéroïdes.
Oui, mais comme Dr Jevelikian a dit, il y a un sous-groupe de population qui a une BPCO qui va avoir besoin de stéroïdes. Il a donné des hints tout à l'heure, il a dit s'ils ont des éosinophiles, par exemple, ce sont des gens qui bénéficieraient des stéroïdes. Mais aussi, on a des data qui disent, et il a présenté, que donner des stéroïdes à tous nos BPCO, on ne leur fait pas de bien, on augmente le risque des infections. Et le BPCO aussi, il perd de la fonction pulmonaire avec le temps, il devient plus exacerbateur aussi. Et donc le maintenir sans corticostéroïdes, mais avec une fonctionnalité qui est bien, est plus important que peut-être parfois mettre des corticoïdes. Mais les recommandations sont claires. Dans Gould, quand on est exacerbateur fréquemment, oui, il faut mettre des corticoïdes. Donc, dans des stades qui sont précoces, on peut voir si le malade a un ACOS ou il a une éosinophilie, alors il y aura de la place pour des corticoïdes. Dans un stade où un malade est exacerbateur, oui, il y a de la place pour des corticoïdes. Pour un malade qui est juste dyspnéique, il n'y a pas de la place pour des corticoïdes. George, do you want to take one?
Just if you have a naive patient who's recently diagnosed with COPD, called B, do you start directly with dual bronchodilation or you give one LAMA or LABA and you see what happens?
That's the question I was afraid of. If you read in fine the studies, you know, industry is pushing to do this. Now, I think long-term study will answer this question. I don't have a good answer for this question right now. But when you look at this data, you say, yeah, you know, maybe we should start dual bronchodilator initially. When you have your best responder in your gold 2 in the study. George, you have a different comment maybe.
I think that as Dr. Dabar said, the benefit that we're seeing with the combination, because they're following different pathways and different mechanisms of actions, they are actually very promising. And I feel that as the data become more and more prevalent and more convincing, we will probably opt for the best desirable outcome, especially if it comes at a low cost of side effects. So if you have better bronchodilator, dual bronchodilator, improvement in the parameters that we look for in our daily care of COPDers, namely with symptom control, with reduction in exacerbations, and when we're talking about molecules that same companies have, we're not talking about even competition, I think the time will come where we will probably opt for a dual bronchodilator first. I think the question is a bit different maybe. The question is that if we put somebody, say, on a dual bronchodilator and they improve significantly, is it possible to talk about bringing them down to a single agent later on, or will we be losing a chunk of their lung function? I don't know if anybody has those answers, but yes, I see the day, and it's not going to be probably far, where there will be at least the option of putting patients on the combination from the start, not wait until they you add on and then say, okay, I'm going to put them on a combination. That's what I think. I think what we probably need to do also is we need to start patients on bronchodilators, and if need be, if they end up with a need for a steroid, give the steroid in a different or separate device. So what I do, for example, if I need patients on a combination, I start them on a LAMA-LABA, and then if I need to add, I can add an inhaled bronchodilator, an inhaled steroid, because that's something I can probably de-escalate eventually when they are no longer having exacerbations. It's still, I think, going to change as the guidelines change.
Just when you look at the numbers, the terrific bronchodilation we get with the dual combination. I mean, the guidelines are not up here. They're not saying it yet. But if I can make my patient go further walking and has exercise, why not? Why just start with just one? It makes sense. But the data, the studies are not there to say it yet.